Well, this is the time of year when I usually get some sage advice from my wife. Not that she doesn't give good advice through the rest of the year, but this time in particular, time of year, she does give me particular advice about what kind of sage to buy. And through the years, she's inherited a recipe for dressing from her mom. And it's just it's great dressing, but she's come to see that it tastes better when you use a certain type of sage, Dalmatian sage. And so starting in about September, I'll be looking in grocery stores to see if they have it. They don't carry it year-round. At least I've not found one that carries it year-round. And about 4 weeks ago, I found four bottles up at a store in Nashville and picked them up, and they're prepared. So I've done my part of getting ready for the Thanksgiving dinner. But as you think about this time of year, as you think about Thanksgiving, what Ty just led us in about counting our blessings, it takes different forms and shapes for each of us. There are different elements to it. Norman Rockwell, through the years, painted a number of different images of Thanksgiving for folks to be mindful of. These are two images. He painted one from 1943. One from 1945. One has a traditional kind of gathering with a lot of family around a table sharing a bounty, and one with just two together. Others of his paintings for Thanksgiving have just one person in them. But for each of us, Thanksgivings come and have different forms and shapes along the way. But underlying them all is this sense of being mindful of how we've been blessed and of what has occurred in our lives and of the provisions that are yet to come that God has in store for each of us. I like to think about turkey. I like to think about dressing. I like to think about all those things, but there's something deeper there that's more important for us to be mindful of and thinking about. As you think about the different ways that we find to say thank you in languages around the world, it comes out with different sounds. We're accustomed to that one in the middle, but in other parts of the world where Marina grew up, it may be donkey or something like that. Across the Pacific, it may be arigato. It may be grazie in other parts of the country, and there are other words there I'm not going to even try. I just find it interesting. They do really sound differently being said. But what's in the heart is one theme, one thought that comes through that is so important for us to capture, for us to follow through with. And as we think about our parents, if you think about your growing up, I don't know exactly what it was like in your house. I know in my house, my folks worked with me to try and be mindful of saying thanks, of being appreciative for what we had or received or the times that we spent together. And you think about how through the years parents have worked with kids to try and instill that sense of just being mindful and just being thankful. Thankful for each other, thankful to our God for what He has given us. And that's what I want us to just consider this morning for a few minutes, to think about our need to be thankful to God for the blessings that He's given throughout time. There are times, though, that we may try to be thankful, but we don't quite get it right. I don't know about you, but I run into those circumstances where you try and say one thing and it comes across really differently, not quite what you meant. There's a little book, it's actually a series of books, Children's Letters to God, that I always appreciate. Just has some little heartfelt messages. There was one in there where, if you can read that, the child's letter to God says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." I don't know if that Joyce may be anybody we know, but there are times like that when we think we know what we need, And we know what we're praying for, and what we receive may not be exactly what we're praying for. It may be something different that's in God's plan for us. And it's a struggle at those times to know just how to respond. And sometimes we're like Joyce. We're wanting to say, but God, I really wanted a puppy. And it's important for us to think about how should we be thankful in those kinds of times, in times of blessing and in times of want, in times of joy and in times of sorrow, to keep that sense in mind of there are always things to be mindful of and thankful for. Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians, he said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. And it, as I've reflected on that passage a little bit, I appreciate that it doesn't say for everything give thanks. Because there are things that occur in this life that I'm not thankful for. I mean, I think of my own failings, my own shortcomings, my own times that I have just made the wrong choices. I'm not thankful that those occurred. I'm thankful for the forgiveness that God offers. I'm thankful for His mercy. I'm thankful that He loves me in spite of those, or that my family loves me and puts up with me in spite of those. There are things that we can be thankful for in all circumstances, but not necessarily for every event that occurs. But in every circumstance we're in, we can know we're not alone. We can know that God is with us. We can know that He loves us. That we know that He has worked to prepare a place for us. And before we even were born, He laid forth a path for our salvation, for us to have hope. He knew that we would make mistakes, and He sent His Son to prepare that place for us, prepare a way for us. And we can just give thanks, even in tough times, for His steadfast love. We read in the Old Testament, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. That's always there. That's always there with us. Well, James, who's such a practical writer in so many ways, James said, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. For every good and perfect gift comes from above." Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And he gives that caution not to be deceived for a purpose, because we live in a world where Satan works to deceive us about the blessings we have. And he works to deceive us in different ways. He can work through that channel of, you really don't have what you deserve. There are folks that are bad. There are folks that don't go to church like you do, or don't do whatever, who are so much better off. You really don't have what you deserve. He can work to make us think that we are just not taken care of. Or, at the other end of the spectrum, when things are going really well, He can make us look on our lives and think, wow, you did all that. You are really special. You're really smart. You're really strong. You really made great choices. You are so much better than everybody else. And so James' words that say, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Know that the good gifts we have come from God has some teeth to it. It's saying that in whatever happens, when Satan's trying to say that we aren't blessed, know that we are. When Satan's trying to tell us it's by our doing that we are blessed, know that it's from God. And it echoes Paul's message about in everything, give thanks. We see this theme, though, of being mindful of giving thanks throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, Moses gave this warning to God's children. He just said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord God, failing to observe His commands. And he says, when things are going really good, you've just got to be careful, because it is easy for us to forget that we need Him, and that He does provide, and that He is what counts, not something that may be in our bank account, or a car in the driveway, or a job at work. It's what He gives us that really counts. keep him in mind, even in good times. We see that caution coming to fruition a little bit later in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, when we see the words of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is from Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 28, when Nebuchadnezzar was out one evening and he was looking over the great city and palaces and structures that had been built under his watch. And he was just full of himself. And the king said, "Is this not great Babylon, which I've built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" He was just thinking about all he had done and taking pride. And the Bible says, while the words were still in his mouth, he was told, "Well, all this, it's being taken away from you. If that's your attitude, if that's how you think about things, that it's all your work and you're not recognizing that it's God's hand that provides and offers these things, it won't be yours." Well, in the New Testament, the theme continues, and one of the passages that always strikes folks thinking about just saying thank you is that story that Luke shares about the 10 lepers. Just read it for a second from Luke 17, verse 11. We read that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. So it wasn't necessarily a part of town or an area where you wanted to hang out. It was a place that a lot of folks would have avoided, when this place where the 10 men banished from the town, these lepers, were and met him. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You think about that. Think about what you would do in that circumstance. In another passage, we read of a priest and a Levite encountering somebody in trouble, the story of the Good Samaritan, and they went to the other side of the road to pass by. Perhaps you run into folks in circumstances of your daily walk of life. I know there are times when I'm traveling, in particular, when I run into homeless folks in cities that I'm in, and it's always a struggle of knowing how to engage. And there's that temptation to not make eye contact. There's that temptation to find the other side of the road, or as you go around a corner and you need to get somewhere and you think, "I can walk on this sidewalk and not be around them, or walk on this other sidewalk and encounter them." Well, it's a challenge. Jesus didn't choose to be on that other side. Jesus answered them, acknowledged them, and he said, "You go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed, and one of them, when he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He was one of those outcasts, one of those that many of the Jews would stay away from because they felt like they were unclean. And Jesus asked, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And then he added, "And this one here to return, he's this foreigner. He's this Samaritan." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Well, different folks have looked at that passage and share some different thoughts. I'll briefly share them with you. There was some writing by a grandson of Billy Graham, Will Graham, who talked about this passage. He talked about that first part of just noting that these lepers could be thankful that Jesus came to where they were, that he didn't bypass them entirely. They didn't have to go seek him out. And he makes an analogy to the fact that just as Walt said in the Lord's Supper in Philippians 2, that our Lord and Savior, the Creator of the universe, emptied himself and came to this world where we are. We couldn't go to where he was, but he took it upon himself to be accessible, to be where we are along the way. God's availability, his coming, his presence means a lot. Will Graham goes on to say, we can be thankful before Jesus hears our cries, that these lepers, they didn't have any hope. They had a disease that people couldn't treat. They had a condition that put them as outcasts from society. And when they cried out to Jesus, Jesus heard them. They knew that he had something that they didn't have on their own. And that's like us as well. In our sin, we have a condition, having rebelled against God, where we have no hope apart from him. But when we call out to him, he's faithful. And he provides for us that means for forgiveness. Our Graham goes on to say, thankful, we can be thankful that he can cleanse us and that he can make us whole, that he can put us back in a condition that we were meant to be, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah talked about, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow, though they'll be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. That idea that as troubled or as marred and scarred as our lives may be, he can make us whole again. And then the last part of this passage, the part where it talks about one of them coming back and giving thanks and the importance of that. There was a speaker several years ago who gave a talk up at Duke University. His name was Samuel Wells, and he had comment about that. It struck me. He said that the second part of the story tells us one more thing about healing, and it's that there's a difference between this physical healing and a spiritual healing. All 10 of the lepers got to live their lives free from social stigma, discrimination, and exclusion. He goes on to say, but only one of them gets to enter in the company of Jesus. For 9 of the lepers, Jesus was a means to an end. But only one of them, for only one of them, Jesus was an end in himself. And the key difference between the one leper and the other 9 lies in those words, thank you, that one made the choice, after being blessed by God, to turn back to him and say, this wasn't a transaction. This is a relationship. This is a long-term connection. This is something that makes a difference. And those words, thank you, are the entry point, the opening door to our relationship to God, to know that he has blessed us in so many ways. As we feel that urge to say thank you, it makes a connection. It makes a difference. Max Lucado had this saying that just gives me pause at times. What if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? How would that look? Would you have woken this morning in your house? Would you have had clothes? Would you have had family? Would you have cars? Would you have a job? Would you still be in a free country? And the list goes on and on. If you think about it, what if we woke up today and only had those things that we'd been thankful for yesterday? It's a little bit sobering. It makes you want to say, and I thank you for everything. Even those things I forgot, just to be mindful and reflect. There's some consequences to thanking God that matter, and it's part of the reason for the encouragement, part of the reason Paul said, in everything, give thanks. One of them is it does help us to know God for who he is. When we stop to think about what he's done for us and what he's given us and how he's blessed us, we come to better understand who he is and his love, and think about, he didn't have to do this. He could have written me off. And how many times might I have written off somebody else for far lesser things than I've done? He didn't have to do the things he's done for us. It's a reminder for how much we're loved, every one of us. It's a reminder that God cares about you, and God cares about me, and he cares about all of his children. And it's just that reminder of how much we're loved along the way. When we're thankful, it helps put our life in context. It helps put things in mind of eternity. It helps put things in mind of, helps us understand the current situation we're in. We're not going to be in these spots that we find ourselves in forever. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. And the glory, the treasure, the wonder, the goodness, we see pieces of it here. We see snippets in the night sky and the glory of God's majesty, and snippets in the springtime, or in the color of the fall leaves, or in the beauty of a fresh fallen snow. We see snippets in a baby that's born, and just that precious gift that God gives to parents. But he's got something that exceeds all of that in store for us. And as we are thankful for these snippets that we see, it helps us to be mindful of, and there's more. There's more that He has in store for us. As we're thankful, it gives a calming influence. When you're thankful about things, it's harder to be angry and bitter and flustered and upset and just all bent out of shape about what's going on, because we are looking through a new set of glasses, a lens through which we see good in the world and we see God's blessings to us. It makes a difference there. And as we're thankful, it enables us to serve. As we're thankful and we realize how much God has done for us, it puts us in a position to help and to serve others. It just makes a difference there. I think that's why Paul, in part, wrote these words when he talked about the love of Christ constrains us. That as we reflect on who God is and what He's done for us, it affects our hearts and it makes us want to act. It makes us want to respond. It's hard when you think about all the good that God has done for us. It's hard not to act, to engage, to share, to think about, I need to reflect some of the mercy and grace and goodness that I've been shown. It's my hope that love of Christ, the love of God, is constraining each of you as we reflect on the goodness that He's given us. Lots of ways to say thank you, lots of different languages in which it can be said, but perhaps the best way we can ever say thank you is just by living a life of service, of reflecting His grace, reflecting His mercy, and being the image of God that He would have us to be in this world. This morning, if there's anything that we can do to help you in your relationship with God, to strengthen it, if you need to respond for His mercy and His grace by being baptized in the waters of baptism, if you just need the prayers of the congregation, I'm thankful that this body is one of the most welcoming and loving of any group I've ever been a part of. And know that God loves you and the folks here will love you as well. If you're subject to His invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?